Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where I am on a mission to bring peace to one person at a time. And today I hope that can be you. We're over here testing the fences of life and reporting back, trying to figure out what it's all about and share that with you so that you can make your life awesome. So today we're talking about why bother developing your self-understanding. So once you are going through this process and you're traversing the stages and you're learning about yourself, and this is a very important journey, and you go through the trouble of stage 7, which is really hard, and you get to this point where you experience the oneness, and it's this amazing feeling to feel this unity with all people, with all life, with the universe. You get it that the whole of existence is in you and you are in it, and the whole, the dichotomy, you get it, you internalize it, you feel it, and it's the most amazing experience. And then you still have to wash the dishes. And the laundry's got to be done. And you're okay. You're sitting there like, okay, well, there we are, right? So regardless of our true nature, regardless of our spiritual or religious or moral findings, regardless of whether we are extensions of the one consciousness and capable of influencing our realities, here we are. Every day, as you go through this cycle of stages, as you learn about yourself and you learn about the world, still, here you are. And the alarm clock goes off, or if you're retired, maybe it doesn't. That's awesome. But there's still, things you're going to get up and do. You still have to feed yourself. You still have to do the laundry. You still have to do the dishes. The car needs repaired. The roof needs replaced. Here we are. Regardless of all of it, here we are. And even if we can see the true nature of the matter and the energy around us, even if you've gotten to that stage where if you put yourself in the right mindset, you can literally see things dissolve into the energy in front of you. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I'll report back. But even if you get there, here we are. Living among it all as humans, experiencing our humanity, regardless. Now, we can feel and experience the divine within us, and yet here we are, still human, still in this world, and still prone to suffering and anger and many other things that we would rather not experience. The dishes still need to be washed, the laundry still needs to be done, the roof needs to be repaired again. So why bother developing yourself to later stages of understanding? It can feel like that. You're like, okay, well, I'm still here. What did I expect? Some kind of transcendence? I'm not sure what I expected. But it seems like I expected something about my daily life to change once I had started spending more significant time in stages 10 and 11. And I would say that it has, but it wasn't quite like the dramatic, I thought there'd be some kind of transcendence or something happening there. But that's not how it works. It has changed in that I have transcended other people's realities. But you don't quite transcend your own. What you do is you take ownership of your own. you recognize that you have influence over your own and you start exercising that, and that feels really good. But what it comes down to is, if we are to be here experiencing our humanity, then I would like to make that experience as joyous, as peaceful, as exciting, and high quality as possible. And that's what I want for my life. That may not be what you want for your life, but that's what I want for mine. And you would say, well, how is it supposed to be peaceful and exciting at the same time? I think it can be. I really do. I think life can have a relaxed joy, that it can be exciting and relaxed at the same time. That excitement is this feeling of aliveness, that but within you is the stillness. And I think that really lines up a lot with Yogani's writings. If you read, he's got a series out from 2010. This is fairly recent. That is fantastic. A series of short books on, there's one on meditation, there's one on yoga asanas, there's one on, there's all kinds of different things. Samayama, that's worth checking out. But he makes the point as well that when you get to these more advanced stages, it is this combination of inner stillness and ecstatic energy at the same time. And it's the merging of these two. And that's what I'm looking for. So understanding our true nature and abilities is one way to do that. Right, developing your self-understanding is one way to gain the tactics you need to make the most of this experience of being human, to make it whatever you want, and you can. So once you understand just how in control of your reality you are, you do not transcend your reality. You don't, melt away into the light somewhere, but instead you have the opportunity to make it what you want it to be. Now, you might say that you transcend other people's realities because you no longer delegate control of your reality to anyone else. Now, that right there is worth it. And so what do I mean by that? Prior to fully understanding just how in control of your reality you are, you tend to kind of see life as something that happens to you, not by you. And as you're kind of floating through life, kind of doing what you think you're supposed to do, and quote, doing it right, you're getting the right degree, you're getting the right job, you're having the right family, you're marrying the right person, you're doing all the things you're supposed to do. What does that mean? That means society has defined for you what your reality will be. Society has dictated what your reality will be, and you said, okay, I'll do that, and you did that. So that's other people dictating your reality. It can be very similar with when you take on the emotions of other people, right? So if somebody comes into your world and they're all angry and difficult and they're in a bad mood, you can tend to take that on yourself. Negative emotions spread like virus. And it's very easy, and then you're in a mood, right? Because you're like, why are they in such a bad mood? Now I'm in a pissy mood, and I'm going to take it out on everybody, right? And spread it around. So that person and their anger is dictating your reality. And so that right there is a fantastic reason to pursue self-understanding and pursue these later stages. Because you get to a point where you fully recognize just how in control of your reality you are, and the answer is completely, and you stop letting other people dictate your reality. And it's not like you're going to say, okay, stop, put your hand up, you know, you're not going to dictate my reality. It's not like that. It's more like they just don't seem to have any influence over your reality anymore. It's not that you actively did something to make that happen. It's more like it just stopped having any effect on you. It's pretty great. So that right there is a good reason to do this. So you transcend other people's realities. So the first question that I have for you today is, what do you want this life to be for you? And don't take somebody else's answer for that. That's a really big question with far too many answers. So I recommend starting instead with, what do you want to feel? What do you want your life to feel like? And that's a great place to start when you're not ready, when you don't have a very specific vision. Just start with, what do you want to feel? What are the emotions you want to experience during the day? And once you establish what you want to feel, then you can ask yourself, what would make you feel that way? What would be, you know, an activity or an experience or a job or a hobby or a something that would make you, a situation that would make you feel that? And start there. Start bringing that into your life. So it really comes down to three questions. What do you want to feel? What do you want your life day to day to feel like? And then, what does that mean to you? Because you need to define that, right? So I had to define, what does it mean to me for life to feel like peace and excitement and joy all at the same time, right? What does that mean to you? And then third, what would make you feel that way? And that's a really, really great place to start. Okay, so audience questions. I got a really, really good question yesterday. So this is perfectly in line with not letting other people dictate your reality. So someone asked, and I'm going to paraphrase, the situation is, I've got a boss who gets in bad moods. Don't we all, right? And when the boss gets in bad moods, the boss comes in and starts sabotaging other people's work. And we'll analyze why in a minute. But the boss starts sabotaging other people's work and yelling at people and basically causing problems for the whole company. And kind of taking it out on everybody else and even going so far as to sabotage the efforts of their own team. Now, what does this do, right? So the team members get, well, angry, right? They're pissed off. Why are you doing this to me? The team members don't understand, right, why this would happen. So it's anger, it's sadness, it's problems, it's living in fear of the next time that this boss comes in a bad mood. This is a really nasty kind of work environment. This is hard. And the big question is what to do. So the answer what to do in this situation, and I don't have all the answers, but I do, as usual, I try to have the questions. So first, a little bit of insight. Misery loves company, and people in bad moods love to spread it around. Normally, they will just spread it around by coming in and flinging their pain on everybody else. To go so far as to sabotage the work of their own team is an act of self-sabotage as well as lashing out at the team. It's a fairly extreme form of that. And so I would say that what's going on here is, number one, this boss feels terribly unworthy. Terribly unworthy, terribly fearful and sad themselves, right? Because remember that anger is what fear looks like in public. So if they're coming in angry, they are full of fear. And they look very negatively on themselves. Otherwise, and I would say that there's probably a fear of failure, which is why they are instituting the sabotage to institute the failure of others so that they don't feel alone in what they perceive as failure and unworthiness. So I would, number one, ask yourself, can you look at this person and see their humanity, see the scared child inside who is fearing failure? Can you say something to them that in their anger, in their difficulty, shock them by saying something nice, right? Can you consistently point out to them their successes so that maybe they never fall in this trap of feeling like a failure? And if those aren't options, right, the other thing that you can do is protect yourself, knowing that periodically they're going to come in and sabotage the team. I would find ways to protect yourself and advise others on ways to protect themselves. So, for example, and I can't imagine what they might be doing, so I'm going to take some guesses. If it's they're going to, you know, quote, lose important papers, can you scan them and save them? Can you make copies? Can you have your own separate files that only you know where they are, if it has to be on paper? You know, what can you do so that they think they're carrying out the sabotage, but it actually has zero effect on you? Zero, right? So copies of everything, scanning everything, backups of everything, your own private backups of everything in whatever manner you can produce those, digital or not. So that, they can come in and tantrum around like a child and try to sabotage the team, but ultimately it's not gonna matter, right? And then you don't have to live in fear of that. You don't have to take on their fear. You don't have to take on their unworthiness. And if you can put yourself in these later stages and understand that control of your reality, then when they come in and do this, it's just, you're going to see them as the scared, tantruming child that they are. It's not going to have the effect on you of making you angry and sad. And it just, you know, takes the bite out of the whole thing. So that would be my advice. Meanwhile, this is tough. If you can get into position of a manifesting yourself a different boss, I would do that. If this boss is the owner of the company, and I have been there, then you're not going to be able to manifest yourself a different boss because they're the owner. So what you might do instead is manifest yourself a better job with a better team, with a better boss who doesn't behave like a tantruming child. So that's what I would do. And there's a lot of reasons why you can, you know, you can tell yourself, oh, well, I, you know, there are no other jobs. That's bull. you know, I don't care what excuse. Maybe you don't have access to a car. Maybe you don't have access to I don't know what. I don't have this. I don't have that. Okay, we'll figure it out. Because there's always a way, if you choose for there to be, you can manifest yourself a job that pays perhaps more and has a better team, has a better boss that doesn't act like this. And I don't want to hear any excuses. You totally can. So get to work on it. Go and check out the guidelines for manifesting. Check all the warnings. Make sure you're not manifesting from a place of fear or anger in this place. Get yourself to a positive place. Imagine a more perfect job, a more perfect team, a more perfect boss for you. What do you want that to look like? Right? What do you want your life to feel like? What do you want your job to feel like? And manifest from a place of joy and excitement and love and whatever you want those positive feelings of this new job to be. Whatever that is for you. And go make it happen. And in the meantime, cover your butt. And see this boss for the tantruming child and scared child that they are. Pity them. But do not let them dictate your reality. And the only way to do that is to understand the depth of just how much you control your reality. So as you work through these stages, as you come to really internalize the control that you have and the influence that you have over your reality, then you'll also internalize just how little influence you need to allow others over your reality. And that's a really good feeling. So right now you're allowing this boss a lot of control over your reality, and it's time to change that. So I would ask, how are you going to change that? So that is a really, really good, complicated question. I am sorry you have to deal with that. Sucks. But those are some ideas. So you've got some work to do, but this is your reality and you get to change it. You do not have to submit to other people's influence over your reality. So stop. Do something about it. All right. So that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us. As always, if you have questions, you can send them to questions@koabd.com. I will get to them. I will answer them anonymously on the podcast. And sometimes I will just write you back. So send them in questions@koabd.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.